The following is a Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on September 6, 1981 in Boston, Massachusetts.
What happened was that in Dwapara Yuga, when Krishna and Rukmini were there in Dwarka 5,000 years ago, Krishna was hearing about the news from Vrindavan, but he asked all the queens to go out, but they all were eavesdropping. What was the news? And when they heard all the different news about Vrindavan and the whole transformation, they became very attracted. They requested Krishna that we want to have murti of you and Balaram in that mood, in your Vrindavan mood, so we can worship. So he gave them a Krishna and Balaram deity holding a stick as a cowherders. And the Rukmini, Satyabhama, they worship these deities. So when they all left the world, then somehow these deities fell into that area where the gopis were, where the gopis and the queens, where we take the gopi chandan from, many of them jumped in the water there and left their body to go back to Krishna when he left. So somehow the deities also ended up there. So this ship captain had taken that mud and used it as a ballast in the bottom of a ship. So Madhvacharya, he could understand, either had a dream or some way he was able to understand that the deities were in there. So he said, just give me a hunk of mud, so many tons of mud, of this hard tilak. Mud was there. I mean, it's solidified chunks of dirt, very hard clay. He said, no, take some gold, take some valuables. He said, no, I just want that. So I can't move it. It's too heavy. We moved it by crane in the port. Now how can we move it here? But Madhvacharya was an incarnation of Hanuman. So he, the monkey, I don't know if you got, there's Hanuman over there with Ramachandra. So he could lift a mountain even. So Madhvacharya, he said, that's all right, I'll take it out. So he went and took it. And then somehow they took off the mud, and inside there was a Krishna and Balaram deity. So Balaram he established right there by the ocean. And Krishna took a little bit inside into Udupi and established a worship there of the Krishna deity. So the present deity is looking out the window. Just like here you may have your altar. There might be a window in the side. Of course here this building there's no windows. But I mean, there happened to be a window in the side. So they wouldn't allow the caste Brahmins, about I think several hundred or maybe 1,000 years ago, they were restricting one devotee from coming in because he wasn't of a higher class. He was just, don't know exactly what his caste was, but it was low enough that they wouldn't let him come in the temple. But actually he was a pure devotee. He was very dead, and Krishna wanted that he be admitted, but there was some. So he would come every day, and he would play Krishna different tunes on his flute and chant his holy name from the side window. So one day, Krishna turned around on his own and looked at his devotee from the side window. So since then, you go to the front of the temple and the deity is looking, you can only see the deity by the side. So the window, you have to go to the window to get the darshan. So they have a system where they have 8 sannyasis, and every 2 years a sannyasi, one sannyasi does the puja. They bathe Krishna with 32 coconuts, gallons of yogurt, gallons of honey every day. The puja takes from the morning 3:34 until 12 noon. So many bathings and dressings and aartis and just a lot of puja. So every 2 years they switch the Swami who does the puja. So that this January 18th is going to be the change. So they've requested that as a special guest if ISKCON devotees would go. It's the biggest festival of every 2 years. Then the new one who's going to be the new puja, Acharya, whatever, he's that's called the Periyar Swami. He's invited. So if anyone's in India at that time, it'll be they have elephants and parades and so many things. They'll treat the ISKCON devotees as guests of honor and allow them to speak and do kirtans and everything. So we are now doing some joint preaching with the most famous of the Madhva Acharyas, which is helping us and helping him, because right now there's a big move in India to convert really poor people into Muslim faith. So they want ISKCON to preach in a big way, an organized way, so that because in Bengal now we have about 350 village groups which we've organized. So they want that to be organized in the south. So to help in that, these different acharyas are requesting ISKCON to take the initiative, because they feel that Lord Chaitanya's movement is the only hope. So I told them that actually you're just simply getting what you deserve. Because during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence, it was the Mohammedan rule. But he stopped the conversion because he transcended all type of caste limitation. He transcended all type of materialistic vision. He united everybody on the common platform of Harinam, Sankirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna on highest philosophical basis. Because Lord Chaitanya has given, but you have neglected to take his instruction, you've neglected to follow his teaching, therefore you are having now all these problems. Because of the offense by not following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. So now they're coming and saying, yes, please come and spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Because now they can start to see that there's no other hope for their preserving the culture. Everyone else has already watered it down quite a bit. A lot of people. So these are some of them. Then, of course, in Thailand, the Buddhists are... So a lot of college students are coming forward chanting japa. We've translated some books into Thai language. There is completely different mood because everyone is a Buddhist. So we have our world convention of Vaishnava Buddhism, and which is catching on. Because we also believe in Buddha, but we worship Buddha under the system of Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavati Vidhi. And that Buddha is the incarnation of Krishna, so we worship Krishna and Buddha both. they have a slightly different concept, but they're very open right now. So many intellectual people are coming forward. They like it very much. It's actually possible that in the future the whole country of 60 million could become Krishna conscious, because they're very respectful to monks, to religious people, very respectful. Every morning there's hundreds of thousands of monks go out and they all get fed. Each family feels that they have to give at least one son from their family to become a monk, for them to have a good religiosity and good fortune in their family. So there are 200,000 monks in Thailand right now. So if every family gave one boy or one girl to be Krishna conscious in America, then how many Krishna conscious preachers would there be? It's a real breakthrough. So we have to simply convince them that Krishna consciousness is actually the perfection of all of their aspirations and the fulfillment of Lord Buddha's desire. Then they can give one child per family to be monks or nuns in our Krishna conscious monasteries there. So Prabhupada appeared to a devotee in a dream and told him to make a huge pagoda boat and build temple on the boat and have the people come on the boats, and the boats will go, they have all these canals and rivers throughout the main Mekong River, which of course further goes on to Vietnam. It's the last free country practically left there. And the whole country just had a really thick network of rivers. So there the idea is to preach through the boat by the rivers. Just like in Bengal we have our Nittai Padakamala boat. Here Prabhupada told this devotee to make it a very beautiful pagoda boat with, you know, gold and so many decorations. They have such boats there called royal yachts. Very nice. Then we just were invited to the king's Janmashtami festival in Nepal. And we had a seminar there on Raja Vidya, education, spiritual education in the modern world, something like that. And they were this pretty good for Boston. We told them that they shouldn't blindly follow the Western university system, which doesn't have any spiritual instruction, because morally it will destroy their country. But they should take the best from both worlds and make a unique, perfect system for Nepal. So then the Senate, chairman of the Senate was present, and he spoke and said that he felt that Prabhupada was an incarnation of Krishna's potency, that he was able to change the hearts of people all over the world. And he said that he did what we should have done, but we didn't do. And the devotees are doing what we would have told them to do had we done what we should have done. And this was all published in the paper, so that's very nice. So then recently the king, just 2 days ago, in Paris, he visited King of Nepal, so he was also garlanded there by some Gurukul children. And possibly he met with some devotees. They were just discussing it with his secretary. So they want us to develop a big school there, and the government will sponsor it for foreign aid, as a government project to build a big Gurukul school there. They're very interested in that educational programs. Then in Delhi they had a Rath Yatra, in Bombay they had people lined up a half a mile outside the temple for Janmashtami, for Darshan. Many people drove up in the car, saw the line to go in was a half a mile long, right down to the bus stand, if you don't, Bombay, practically down to the beach, beyond the beach. People just non-stop coming and taking a darshan. And Srila Hari K. Swami had a meeting in Europe, finalizing some more detail or developing some more plans for the Mayapur development, the spiritual city. As you know, Lord Nityananda predicted 500 years ago that the whole Navadvip would be flooded and be covered by Ganges water for 200 years. And then the water would recede and there would be nothing there. The birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, everything would be covered up by Ganges silt. And then, after that, he said it would be rediscovered. Lord Chaitanya's exact birthplace would be rediscovered, and there would be a big temple built in Mayapur. This temple would be so wonderful that it would popularize and establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message all over the world. And then he described that around that temple there would be a spiritual city which will be filled with devotees. And that will be a unique city in the world because it's only devotees. And we'll have so many people coming from all over the world to visit that. So this is written 500 years ago. And of course, I just only saw it in writing this year. But of course, this is Srila Prabhupada's plan all along to develop our Mayapur temple and city. Actually, now we can understand that this is fulfilling the prophecy of Lord Nityananda, which he made to Jiva Goswami in the 14th century. 15th century. That's basically what's happening in India. As I came through, I stopped in Italy. They have their own radio station. Radio Krishna Centrale. On your FM dial. And they have two stations, one from one mountain and one from the top of their Villa Vrindavana. So people are calling in and seems to be a very nice program. In Heidelberg they had a cultural center. Otherwise, the temple's regular program. This morning we had a nice Radhastami morning program. That's the latest news. So this is 12 years. 12 years ago I was in Boston, 1969, when we greeted Prabhupada. He went to India and to England and to India. That time his health was a little bit poor. So many devotees were afraid he wouldn't come back. So when he came back, the whole eastern coast, all the devotees came to Boston. I came down from Montreal. Bhavananda Goswami, Vishnupad came from somewhere else, I forget, maybe New York. And everyone came here to Boston And at the airport, there was such a huge kirtan. People were jumping up and down. And the kirtan was so ecstatic, so wild. I remember that one devotee was playing the kartal. Somehow he hit his head with the kartal and blood was coming. But he didn't even know that he was bleeding. And so they also came in the newspaper. And in the newspaper write-up, the journalist wrote that some of the women were crying and their bodies, they were shaking. They actually described some ecstatic symptoms. They were so astonished. So the whole airport, I think it's a different airport. 12 years ago, it wasn't such a fancy airport. But I remember. You could stand on the side, and then there was the customs enclosure. And they had put up some rickety type of Masonite panels, so you couldn't see the people going through the customs and immigration. And so the plane came down, and someone ran down and said, Prabhupada has gotten off the plane. We saw him. He's into immigration. The devotees were jumping and chanting, and it was getting very intense. All of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada took his hand and lifted it over the... you could just see his bead bag. Over the enclosure, he just lifted the hand up. Hariwa, Hariwa! It jumped up and down, just, you know, exploded. You know, Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. And then after about 5 minutes, he came around. When he came, everyone just hit the deck, completely paid their obeisances at the same time. The people were, you know, astonished, what's going on? Prabhupada, he walked up and sat down. And each of us had a garland, I mean, hundreds of garlands. And we all offered our garland. And that the garland would come up to Prabhupada. He accepted everyone's garland. He was so magnanimous. And then it would go up right up to his eyes, and then they take and put it on. And there's like a big piles of garland. But everyone had a garland, he let them give. Then I remember that the TV, radio, or they're probably just with their mouth hanging open. They didn't know what was going on, especially in those days. Now they're a little bit used to us, but in those days it was completely new. Then Prabhupada, the first thing he said, that you may be thinking, why a man is getting so much worship. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, therefore he's respected on the level of Krishna. Then Prabhupada said, but if the spiritual master thinks that he is God, that he is Krishna, he's not God. He's not G-O-D. He's D-O-G. He's dog. It's right on the TV network. So then I took Prabhupada and showed him the temple was a mortuary. Right? It was a remodeled morgue, a mortuary, what do you call it? Caretaker, you know. And they had a lift where they used to take the coffins up and down. And downstairs in the basement they had ISKCON press. So Prabhupada went on the lift, I took him down, showed him the printing press. He was very pleased. And then they drove Srila Prabhupada off. He was staying somewhere else. Like that, those are the few memories as devotee. The only other time I came to Boston was to play rugby. Then we played with MIT. I was on the B squad. I can't remember much about those days. The real nectar, Prabhupada, this is the first place that he put his lotus feet on when he came to the West. So this is actually a great tirtha. And Prabhupada first stepped down in America here in Boston. That means that very special and great responsibility is there for the Boston devotees. Just like one time, somebody wrote Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, that we want to close the Calcutta temple. He wrote back very angry, "You want to close the temple of my birthplace?" 10 or some years ago. It'd be a great disgrace. So similarly, the very first place that Srila Prabhupada set his lotus foot, the shores of America. So that's a great responsibility. And actually Prabhupada came here to Boston on several occasions, wrote many letters. So even the King of Nepal, he went to school at Harvard here for 1 year. So many people go to school here. Somehow they should have a contact also with Krishna consciousness in a favorable way. And in general, all the Bostonites should get the benefit. Since this is a very historical place, they can take pride. In the future, they can all take pride that Prabhupada, he first stepped down here. Just like in Bombay, they have a footprint of Jesus Christ. They say that he set footprint first there when he came, and then he went to Jagannath Puri and studied. They have, as they claim, his body is there in Kashmir. I don't know exactly the historical correctness of it all, but anyway, they worship that place. They have a footprint there with some monument. So similarly, our professor, Bersham, from New Zealand or Australia, said the biggest thing that happened since Constantinople, which brought Christianity to the Western world, the most significant advent of Eastern religion into the Western world was when A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada brought Krishna consciousness, pure Vaishnavism, from India to the West. This is the first place he stepped down. So this is a very important place. In India, they at least have a padapit. They build a temple with a lotus feet print there at that place. Bhaktisiddhanta has padapits for Lord Chaitanya all over South India. Wherever he put his foot, they build a little temple and put footprints in it. Then every day, someone comes with a few flowers, a little Ganges water or whatever. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimati Radharani ki, Sangha Veda Bhakta Bindu ki, Itai Gopi Manandi.